Our first reading, we have two readings this morning. Our first comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And for those of you who were here last week, some of this will be reminiscent of the word that Minister Steve Belton brought to us, because it's a word that we hear repeated throughout the prophets in different ways, but a very similar message. And to me, that means it's something we need to be paying attention to. When something's repeated and brought up over and over again, God is saying, listen here, this is important. So let's hear the word from the prophet Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like the watered garden, like the spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Amen. And turning then to Jesus' words found in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, we'll be reading the fifth chapter beginning at the 13th verse. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God. And I'm going to move on down here, because one thing you'll find out is I'm a wanderer. I walk around when I speak. And so I would ask if you would pray with me. Dear loving and gracious God, We have gathered here this morning as your people here in this place to worship and to seek to know ourselves in your presence that is always with us. But Lord, we've come from many different places. We've come with much on our hearts and on our minds. We've come by many different roads and for many different reasons. And so it is, Lord, that I would pray for your blessing and your guidance to open our hearts and our minds, that whatever words may be spoken here this morning, it would be your message that would speak into each heart and into each mind where each has need. In the name of the Christ, amen. And so Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I'd like to begin by simply asking, what does that mean to you? And to let you know, I don't ask rhetorical questions and that I'm very patient, I can wait. But what does it mean to be salt of the earth and light of the world? Flavor.
Humble.
Needed. What else? Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What does that mean to you? What are you hearing him say? And it's okay to hear from up here too. Authentic.
Special.
Thank you. An example for others.
Nurturing.
Keep going. They said I got about 20 minutes. So.
Priority.
Thank you. So many ways that we might look at what it is that Jesus is saying. But as we do, I want us to put this in a little bit of a context. Would somebody please open to the first verse of chapter 5 in Matthew? And would you mind just reading out what it says there?
When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up.
Okay, and a little more.
Then he began to speak and talk, saying,
okay.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs.
Thank you. And he begins into what we know, what we often call the Beatitudes. But who is he talking to? Crowds. What does it say? The disciples. He saw the crowds and then he went up to the mountain and his disciples with him, and he began to speak to who? To his disciples. Not simply the 12, but all of those who had followed him. Jesus is speaking specifically to his disciples. Why does that matter? Because when you see the word disciples, take it out and put in the word church. Jesus is speaking to his church. Jesus is speaking to Park Avenue Church. And his word this morning is that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He's not just talking in generalities to anybody who might be listening. He is talking to his church. Because it is his church that he calls the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And not that he says, you should be, you ought to be, you could be if you would just. He says, you are. That's what you are. That's who you are. And the other thing that we need to understand in the context of this is when he says you, it's a plural you. He's talking to the community. Together. Together, the body of Christ. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And all of those things that we talked about, that were brought up, that we mean by that, and others that we may understand that to be, Jesus is saying, that's who you are. That is who you are. And don't hide it. Don't let it be hidden. And how do we so often hide it? By simply blending in like the rest of the world. And we begin to act just like the rest of society in so many ways. and that light that is the very heart of who we are and who it is that we need to be begins to become hidden. We just kind of blend in. We just become one more of many groups in the society. But in a sense, Jesus is talking to his church, talking to his disciples, to say, not only this is who you are, but as Park Avenue Church, and I want to say a little bit more about that in a minute, he is saying, I particularly need you to be who you are. I need you to be light in the midst of darkness. That beauty that is here in Park Avenue that comes in so many, many different ways, and it's not just to physically look out and see this multiracial, multicultural, multiethnic gathering of God's people. But it is a people who have, you know, I guess what I want to say is most people don't attend or become a part of Park Avenue United Methodist Church because it happens to be the closest church in your zip code, right? You are here because you have chosen to be here. You came and you looked upon the beauty that is gathered here as God's people, and you said, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what God is doing here, bringing God's people together. That is, in many ways, your greatest gift. That is, in many ways, your biggest challenge. Because you see, if you all looked like me, if you thought like me, we would form community. It might not mean much of a community, but we would form community, and it would be relatively easy because there wouldn't be a lot of disagreement, okay? Because, well, let me put it this way. You may not have noticed, although I think it's obvious, I am not a Somali woman. I'm not a Somali woman. I am a white, middle class, pretty well educated, North American male. I belong to the one group that can actually try to walk through life believing that the way I see it is the way it is. And actually get away with it. Or I can begin to realize that I am not a Somali woman. And I don't know what the world looks like from her perspective. I know what the world looks like from a tiny little slice. And I can go through life pretending that that tiny little slice is the truth. Or I can gather with God's people and we can listen to one another. We can share with one another, and we might actually get up from the table with a little bigger picture what the truth might actually look like. And that is you, Park Avenue Church. And I want to say very selfishly, I need you to be Park Avenue Church. The larger church needs you to be Park Avenue Church right now. The community needs you to be Park Avenue Church. Because the challenge is, how do you build community out of this? And I'm not saying forget about the grief that you are in the midst of. I'm not saying forget about the pain that you are experiencing as a people, as a congregation. I'm not saying forget about the things that right now are kind of tearing at the fabric of that community. And I'm not saying forget about the fact that you're even wondering how we can possibly take one more step together. Because that all is part of your truth right now. And to deny it is never a healthy thing. But to live in it will not be a healthy thing either. Because God is calling you through Christ to be who you are. Park Avenue Church, salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we'll talk a little bit more because, quite frankly, right now, we don't even know what that's going to look like, do we? Okay? We're really not sure how we're going to take the next step. But somehow God has said, I want you to take from here to here, and somehow we're going to build community out of it. And we're going to walk together because you are the church of Jesus Christ. And last I saw, God didn't cease being God. And if God is still God, then there's reason to take one more step. And even though we may not know yet how we're going to take that step, God is still God. And so we will take it. And together, we will begin to learn anew. What does it mean in this way? In this time? Even in the midst of our grief, even in the midst of our pain, to somehow be salt and light. Because the world, the community, needs to know, can this be done? Can this be done? Because if we don't have to look too far outside these walls. And right now we're feeling it inside the walls too. Let's not lie about that. We don't even know how to talk to each other anymore, it seems like. We just kind of silo ourselves. And we're not sure how to talk with one another anymore. And I believe when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world, what he's really saying is, if it can happen here at Park Avenue Church, then it can happen. It can happen out there. It can happen as the wider church tries to wrestle with its next steps. If Park Avenue Church can do it, you who have intentionally chosen to be this community with all of its diversity, then it can happen. And so I believe Jesus is talking not in generalities. He is talking specifically to this gathering and this body. But then he says some things that become a little difficult. He starts talking about the law and about how he didn't come to do away with that law. And there's parts of it, quite frankly, that I read and I said, I wish he had, because it sure would be a whole lot easier. But he came to fulfill it. And then at the end, though, he says, because if your righteousness does not surpass even that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, as Jesus speaks of, isn't one day after we die. It's what he is proclaiming and has brought forth right now here among us and has called us to live into. And when you chose to be a part of Park Avenue Church, in all of its diversity, in all of its struggle, in all of its trying to build community, you chose to live into what it was that Jesus is proclaiming and that he has brought into being, to live into such a world of justice, of peace, and of true hope. But when he talks about that righteousness, what he's really talking about, and we see this in his ministry all the time, Jesus is continually interpreting this law in ways that had become kind of a club. And I don't mean a club like a country club. I mean a club that you beat people over the head with. A measuring stick to see, are you measuring up? Do you fit? beating people up with the law. And what Jesus is really calling us to is to remember what the law was about in the first place. Why it was that God gave the law at all. The entire purpose of the law was to help and teach us how to somehow live together in community with one another in relationship with our God. It's not a measuring stick to be used to beat one another. It's not to point to and say, well, see here, it says this. Because if it does, some of you are in trouble because I notice there's a few of you out here who are wearing wool blends this morning. And Deuteronomy and Leviticus both have a problem with that. And I'd hate to have to take you out back and stone you for your fashion choice this morning. And if we want to take the law as a club and a measuring stick, there's people who looked a whole lot like me who used that law to enslave God's own people. So let's be careful about how we begin to use the law. And Jesus didn't say, just toss out the parts you don't like. But what he said is, remember what the law is about. Jesus got in trouble because the Sabbath was being used as a way of measuring people's faithfulness. And Jesus saw it as a way of bringing us into fellowship and community and into relationship with God. And that brings us into very different places. And so how we together will begin to look at the issues, the hurt, the grief that is a part of what it means to be here at Park Avenue Church today. How we will deal with this together will have a lot to say about how we understand ourselves and what our choices are about being that body of Christ. A beautiful reflection of the community that God is seeking to bring together, that Jesus called the kingdom of God, for which he would give his own life. I said before that we don't know how we're going to take these next steps, and we certainly don't know where it's all going to end up. And I can't stand up here and tell you that I have the answer to that. But what I do have is faith in the one who has called us to be here. Faith that tells me that the fact that we can't see it yet doesn't mean it's not real and doesn't mean it doesn't exist, because Jesus called us into a kingdom that we look out into the community and we're not seeing a whole lot of it. But I know it's true. And I want to live every day into that kingdom and into its fulfillment. And for me, it reminds me of this piece of paper. That can you imagine a hole in this piece of paper big enough that you can physically pass through? I don't mean to cut it and look through and see a possibility of a new future. I mean to physically pass through to a new way of being the community of God together that is Park Avenue Church. And some will say, you know, it's just like the issues we're in right now. I can't see it. I'm not sure it can be done. Well, as I said before, last I checked, God didn't cease being God. And as long as God is still God, then there is a way. And there is hope. What it means is we need to learn some new ways to cut a hole. We need to learn some new ways of what does it mean to risk hard and painful discussion with one another. Not because we're going to convince each other of my rightness and your wrongness, but because somehow God has called us to bring community in the midst of what feels perhaps only like brokenness. And the fact that we don't see it, and we're not sure about it yet, doesn't make it any less real. As I said, maybe we just need to learn some new ways. New ways of talking with one another, new ways of listening to one another, new ways of trusting God with one another. And what will begin to happen? If we are patient, if we are willing, to risk true faith, if we are willing to allow God to be God, what we don't yet see, what we're not yet sure of, will begin to open up in new ways. And some of it's going to be frightening at first. And some of it we're just not going to be sure about. But we will begin to pass through together. And you want to be careful. You don't want to go too quickly. You don't want to do it all alone. Can I get a little help here? Because in the community, we need to help one another. Because it's not just for some of us to step forward. It's for all of us together, with grace, with forgiveness. Thank you. Sometimes we need a lot of help. We will find ourselves walking into a new possibility that we can't see yet, but we know it's there because God is God. And we have been called to be light in the midst of darkness. And the darkness will not overcome it. Amen. Amen.